1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 29 onwards, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. I want to read it in this other translation. I want to point out, friends, that time is of the essence. Time is very, very important. We don't have endless time. All of us have got a certain amount of time. So there's no time to waste. Don't complicate your lives unnecessarily. There are certain essential things we need in this world. By all means, do it. Food, clothing, education. I mean, a certain decent standard of living, housing, etc. is all okay. But don't complicate your lives unnecessarily with a whole lot of things. Keep it simple. Keep it simple in marriage. Keep it simple in grief, in joy, whatever. Even in the ordinary things, your daily routines of shopping, and so on. Be sparing in your purchases. Be sparing, not lavish. Be as sparing as possible with the things that the world thrusts on you. They thrust it on us through the advertisements we see in the newspapers, on the billboards, and the television. The world is always trying to thrust things on us. Some of it you may need. Sure, buy them. I always say, anything that will make your life simpler in your home, get it if you can afford it, because you can save time. Anything, any time-saving gadget, I always encourage people, you can afford it, get it, because you have more time for the Lord. I mean, you don't have to grind with a hand when you got a mixer. It saves time. You have more time to read the Bible, for the Lord, get it. Things that will, all the clothing you need, and et cetera, you need to look decent when you go to work. You don't want to look slipshod. That's not a good testimony for a Christian. Look decent, everything that you need to look decent. Hair oil and perfume and deodorant and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm serious. You need these things. You don't want everybody to think you're a stinker. Everything that's necessary, but be careful that it doesn't go to excess. That's the point. I'm not teaching asceticism where you live with white clothes and live in the jungle, no. But you know where it is going to an excess. And don't follow the example of others around you. Deal as sparingly as possible with the things the world thrusts on you, because this world and everything you see on it is on its way out. And the wise Christian is the one who knows, how much of all this do I need? I'm not going to be an ascetic, and I'm not going to be a fashion model. Somewhere in between, I draw the line. And my mind is not going to be occupied with these things, because I've got something to live for. I don't have all the time in the world, and I want to live for the things that are eternal. There's no time for trifling. Because that's not the way my Master Jesus trod on this earth. Every hour and all the powers He had, He used for His Father. And all the time God gives me and all the energies and resources and everything God gives me, I want to use it for Him, because then I'll have no regret when I stand before Him. Think of Noah, how his whole mind, I think he would have dreamt about the ark. I often think about, you know, how people try to fix a computer bug. They're writing a program, there's a bug in the program and it doesn't seem to work, and think about it, and then they go to sleep in the middle of the sleep, you know, because the subconscious is still working on that bug in the program, and they wake up in the morning and say, hey, I got a solution to that. I have a feeling that Noah was like that when he got stuck with some problem with the ark, how to fix some matter of the ark, and he'd go to sleep and in the morning he'd wake up and say, hey, that's right, that's what I got to do. Think if we can live like that. We live in the world, we eat. I don't think Noah wore white clothes all the time. But it's not that type of thing, it's not asceticism. He lived a normal life, but his values were different. And we can live like that, where we live just like everybody else. People look at us, we're just the same. We're not reverend so-and-so, we don't have any cross around our neck or any such thing. We just look like them, but our values are different. We don't make fun of people, for example, in the office or in the school or the college. We don't gang up on somebody. We don't bully anybody. Our values are different. We make friends with the people who are less privileged and the weak and the lame and those who others make fun of. Our values are different. And people see that. We're not only thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about how to encourage somebody else or how to help someone who's in need. Our values are different. The world doesn't think like that. You know, to have a mindset where you're always looking at people and saying, well, how can I help that person? Does that person look a bit discouraged? Maybe I need to go and have a word with him. Or I sense that this guy is probably going through some struggle of poverty. Maybe he needs a little money. To think like that. The world doesn't think like that. The world only thinks of what can I get. And it's always looking at everything. What can I get? What can I get? And Jesus taught us to live differently. And I think Noah would have been like that. He'd think, how can I build the ark? How can I fix that other board there? And which is the best way to bend that board and fix it to the other side? And he'd think about it and think about it and wake up and do something about it. You know, that's the way we're to live. You need to think about your work, but that's not all. Because you're not just called here just to earn your living, but to be a blessing. The Lord told Abraham, I'll bless you and you'll be a blessing to all the families of the earth. I want to say to you in Jesus' name that every single one of you, if you have been blessed by God in any way, and I don't think there's a single person who can say here you're not being blessed. If you've been blessed by God in any way, that was with the purpose that you will be a blessing to somebody else. It doesn't happen like rivers. It starts like a trickle. So if you have never been a blessing to anybody else, will you start praying that God will start making you a blessing to one person, then two, then three, then four? Take it seriously in your place of work, to your neighbors and relatives. You must be a blessing, not a nuisance. There's a promise in Zechariah 8:13, I want to paraphrase it, that as you were a nuisance to other people in the past, you're going to be a blessing to people in the days to come. Isn't that a good promise to take with you? You are such a nuisance in your home. Your mom and dad were sick and tired of you, but they're going to see somebody different from now on because you're seeking God to bless you and make you a blessing in your home because your values are different. You're not going to fight for those things with your siblings, with your brothers and sisters like you fought in the past because you see that thing people are fighting for, that's not the most important thing in life. And if somebody takes an extra helping at the dining table and you don't get as much as you want to eat, it's not the most important thing in life. No. Don't be disturbed by these things. Have a sense of values. Be mature. Romans chapter 12, it says, in view of all that God has done for you, think of all the ways in which God has been. Mercies of God means the fantastic blessings God has given you. In view of all that God has done for you, my dear brothers and sisters, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. But change your way of thinking so that you know what God wants. And that's good for you and that's perfect. Choose that. But so allow God to change your way of thinking, like Noah's way of thinking till the day God spoke to him and told him that I'm going to judge the world and only the ark, those in the ark are going to be saved. Until that day, he lived like everybody else. But the day he understood that and believed it's really going to be like that, this world is perishing. It's only what you do for Christ and for God that's going to remain forever. Only one life and it will soon be passed and only what's done for Christ will last. That's all. All your other accomplishments and degrees and qualifications and the pleasure you got out of this and that and the other and all the things that you live for are all going to pass away. But if you've done something for Christ, you've presented Christ to someone and shared the Lord's goodness with someone, that'll last forever. Even if you gave a cup of cold water to somebody in Jesus' name. Not if you just gave a cup of cold water, but if you gave it in Jesus' name, because you're a disciple. In other words, you wanted to reflect the love of Christ. Whatever you did, however small it is, it will last forever. It will last to eternal ages. So let's change our way of thinking. It says Christians must be zealous for good works. Jesus went about doing good. In the book of Titus, Paul, you know, towards the end of Paul's life, he spoke a lot about good works. Titus especially. He says, the one reason Jesus died, Titus 2:13, 14, Jesus died, gave himself for us to redeem us from all sin, to purify for himself a people who are zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. And so he tells people, and he says them, please tell our people, chapter 3, verse 14, they must learn to engage in doing good works so that they won't be unfruitful. He speaks a lot about doing good to others. Think of how you can do good to others. Think of how you can speak an encouraging word to somebody and maybe finally draw them to the Lord. Maybe someone in your college, and don't preach to them. Just speak a word of encouragement to them. Let them see that you're different in your, that you're cheerful, and speak words of encouragement, and that you don't laugh at the weak and the poor. And one day when they're in need, they'll come to you and say, hey, I need a little help. It's great, I tell you, to be different, different. I remember in a ship I was on, I got transferred to a ship. I didn't like to get transferred to that ship. It was a small little boat and I wanted to get onto a big ship. But I said, okay, Lord, you decided that. So I went there and I praised the Lord. And somebody on that ship finally found the Lord. I knew that's why he found the Lord. He was a non-Christian. He came to me one day and I didn't go preaching. This is just the way I lived. And he came to me one day and said, I see something different. I want to talk to you. And he accepted Christ. Boy. Then I knew. I said, Lord, I don't care. It's the smallest boat in the world I'm willing to go to if I find someone who I can bring to Christ. So remember, in those difficult places where you did not want to go, you didn't like to go, and you had no choice, God has a plan. He wants to make you a blessing to somebody. If you will keep a spirit of thankfulness and say, Lord, there's a clear line drawn between me and the world. I'm dead to the world, like Paul says. The world is dead to me. I'm not caring anymore for the world's opinion about me. I've got as little interest in the world's opinion about me as a dead man has. It's a good position to take. Galatians 6:14. I've got as little interest in this world's opinion about me as a dead man has. Live like that, my brothers and sisters. You mark my words. You'll have no regret when Jesus comes again.